Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Perfectly to see you smile. where we all say that when we are in relationship, in partnership. We just want to love. I just want to love you. I don't want to hurt you. yes. Bridget Bryant. Creating a soft place. We just want to love. We just want to love. We just want to be loved. But we gotta remember, or should I say, and we have to remember, and not but, and we have to remember, there are some invisible truths that are tapping at the door of our consciousness, that's dancing to the beat of the love that we are expressing. So when we open up our inner eyes, oh, we can see fully. Like, wow, you look just like my... Well, actually, I thought you looked like my father. I thought you looked like my mother, but you're not. Bridget Bryant. Soft place. You can find out more about Bridget Bryant by going to her website, bridgetbryant.com. And you can also find her on iTunes to download your song and just let her. She's an amazing singer, as you can tell. And make sure you get a copy, a file of Rolling River God. Ooh, she does something with that. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, when you embrace the change, when you yield to the change, you will make a mighty difference. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade, which is every last Wednesday of the month. This is a show where we get to take you deeper, where you hold your hands and allow the truth that wants to be revealed to just bubble up without you doing too much, just staying present, becoming aware, slowing down, being still, so you may see yourself differently. It is Wednesday, April 29th, 2015. A dear friend of mine in England, it's her birthday today. So Rose, happy birthday to you. And anybody else celebrating their birthday today, this month, next month, the month before this month, anybody celebrating, period. If you're alive, happy birthday to you. Welcome, listeners. Those of you listening online, thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening on the phone lines, we appreciate you. And those of you who are listening to the archive, even if you've listened to the show before and you came back to listen again because you heard something that you wanted to just say, let me listen to that one more time. Did Lisa say that? Well, listen and find out. Thank you. We are grateful. So without further ado, let me bring on my co-host. And we can start the process of allowing. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Well, good morning, Ade. I'm doing well and really grateful to be here with you and all the ones who are going to be with us today.
Yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to the unfolding of the show. I don't know about you, but the past few months, blimey, like they say in England, it's been hectic, intense, all kind of stuff going on. People are transitioning, animals are transitioning, just so much. You know, we're talking about partnership, love, and relationship, and ancestry. I just feel like the fabric of humanity is getting stretched. And what has your past few months been like?
Yeah, no, I see that same thing. It's quite, these are quite the times we're living in, and I see the need for muscles, you know, kind of spiritual muscles, energetic muscles to be stretched sometimes beyond what's comfortable. And so it's a good reminder, you know, more than ever, how much we need each other. And,
yes,
you know, there can be a real kind of unacknowledged isolation that a lot of people feel, you know, without even realizing it. Kind of the focus on the individual can be a little too extreme sometimes. So I think it's great that we have this conversations in any other place where people can just have a coming together and kind of compare notes. How are you doing? And just tell the truth about what they're noticing. So thank you for all that you're saying, that you bring awareness to it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love what you said about unacknowledged isolation.
Yeah.
And it can be very subtle. You don't even know. Sometimes I'm stuff happening. I don't even know until maybe I get still or someone points it out, and the flood of emotion just comes like, oh my God. Ah, you're right. We need each other.
Yep.
We need each other more than ever. Yes, and everything we see in the news, the protests, the shooting, the violence, the coming together, the things that we all don't hear about, the earthquake, and just what we're going through individually and collectively, it's a reminder that, yes, we do need each other more than ever. So we are getting ready to jump in this conversation. I want to invite you, listeners, that you can join in. You can share your thoughts. Maybe you just want to share what's been like. You just want people, you know, Lisa and I to listen to you because you recognize that, yeah, I've been dealing with isolation and it wasn't even acknowledged. Nobody saw it. They just told me to get over it. 347-426-3346. You know, it's funny, people tell you to get over it. Sometimes you don't even know where it is. You don't know if you have the strength to climb over it. You're all up in it. And it's like, get over it. It's time to move on. And when you do call in, make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We are also taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts in the chat room. Post it there. And another place you can post your questions, comments, thoughts. You know, also say your disagreement, your agreement. You can post that there too. We can talk about it. Because we can learn from each other. It's the Life Conversations Radio like page. Life Conversations Radio like page. Post your questions there. We prefer if you call in because then we can really have a good conversation with you. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. The topic for today is Ancestral Blueprints, Partnership, Love, and ancestry. Let's just breathe that in. Partnership, love, and ancestry. And I'm going to read a little of the description that we have for the show. Through whose eyes are you looking when you look at your partner, spouse, marriage, partnership? Your mother's, father's, grandmother's, or grandfather? Your own? Can you sense your parents supportively behind you, blessing you to see your partner clearly when you look at her and him or him? Or are you looking for your mother or father in your partner? Let's take a breath on that one. Or are you looking for your mother or your father in your partner? If you are single and prefer not to be, is there anyone in your family or ancestry who had difficulty in or loss of relationships with whom you may be in resonance? Breathe that in and just let the questions activate the answer within you. And Lisa, I'm going to roll it over to you. What's going on with you as you hear that?
Well, you know, I'm appreciating having written that, what you just said. It's a blessing for me to take it in, hearing you read it. So, you know, it's one thing to read something, to write something, to read something. It's another thing to hear it. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the chance to hear it. And as I do so, I just feel the own, you know, reverberation that's there in all those questions. I want to ground the history of that description a little bit more fully. Where I live in the Northwest, I have a series of couples retreats that I offer called Making Love Visible Couples Retreats. And so where people get together for a day of being in circle with one another, experiencing the unacknowledged truths, mm-hmm. all the answers in response to those questions that you just read. And what's so persistently true in those circles that I lead, it's that there's always so many more aspects of family life and of our ancestries that are influencing us in ways that our mind cannot grasp. So the recognition that before we have a partnership of any kind, a love partnership, our experience, the template, the blueprint that we get from the families that we come from as sons and as daughters has everything to do with what kind of partners we're drawn to, what kind of people are drawn to us as partners, how we experience partnership. And it's a big deal just to recognize that. It's just good to start there, you know, that before we're a partner, before we're a partner, a lover, a husband, a wife, we're a daughter or a son. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just check with you when I say that, you know, what happens for you also. It's good that we go back and forth with it because it's...
Yes. You know, go ahead.
No,
I was just going to say you're actually in tune with me because, and of course, I'm not surprised at all. And something, and I say this, and I'm redundant. Regular listeners will know this, but something, and I think, okay, so here it is. Well, this is what I was going to say. Every time we do this show, I always feel a sense that it slows me down to hear something differently. Now, I say that almost every show. What I'm realizing now is we say it's a radio show, but it's a little bit more than that. And I really believe it's the energy that we are allowing. You and I, the listeners, maybe people who just looked at the title and said, that looks interesting, or may have questions or disagree that has nothing to do with it. But just the energy of humanity that we're allowing, I feel like, you know, your book, Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. So what this show, Ancestral Blueprints, the radio show, does, it reveals the invisible truth in each of our souls. So when you say before we got into a relationship, it is important to realize before we're a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever, boo, you know, honey, whatever, sugar dumpling, whatever we'll call ourselves, that we, before that, we were sons and daughters. And when I hear you say that, it's like something happens in me. It's like clearing the fog to remind me that though I am here and my mother has made her transition, so she's not in the physical realm, and my dad is in another country, and I don't see them. I won't see my mother again in this realm, but I still see my father. As far as I know, we're going to meet up again, but we don't know what the plans are, so we got to be real about that. what it does is connects me to what I sometimes forget in my busyness, that I'm a son. Mm-hmm. I'm a son to my father. I'm a son to my mother. And there is a connection that happens. Even when you talk about making love visible, that's it. It's like I see it with insight. I see, wow, oh yeah. It activates that love that you're talking about. So that's what happened in me. That's what's happening to me, as you talked about. We must remember that we're sons and daughters first.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from that place, we go into partnership. We never stop being a son or a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop. So, you know, being adult in a love relationship, maybe in a marriage, we don't stop being a daughter or a son. And how that gets navigated can really, you know... There's a lot of different ways that gets...
Yes.
Yeah. And part of what I see all the time in my work is how, you know, so in this description, you know, this language around, you know, through whose eyes are you looking? We like to think that as adults, again, as adults and the focus on the individual, this part of the world is pretty extreme. So we like to think, oh, we're independent, free agents to look at ourselves and look at our partners, look at partnership, you know, with a lot of freedom and consciousness. And that can be true, but what's also true is we're always in connection with that landscape of family and ancestry that came before us, that we come from. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the question about through whose eyes am I looking when I'm looking at my partner has everything to do with how did my mother, how did my father look at each other?
Mm-hmm.
How did their parents, how did my grandparents look at each other? How did the women in the family look at partnership or look at men? How did the men in the family look at women? And so it becomes, you know, just as I say it, there's a complexity that starts to get, you know, it's a lot more complex than what we can aware of when we're in relationship, what goes into how we experience it. And so the kind of experiences I'm with all the time in the groups that I lead have to do with revealing how in a partnership or being single, that how all that goes can be absolutely an expression of an unseen love for our parents, for our grandparents, for our great-grandparents, trying to get how they experienced partnership made visible. So if there's some experience in one generation or two or three or four generations of difficulty, joy, anything in between, I am, because we're always connected with the families we come from, and we're driven to try to get these histories made visible, I am inclined to repeat some things, some dynamics, some experiences that had to do with, that were experienced in the generations before me. That's a deep, deep, persistent inclination to repeat what's happened or not happened before me. Mm. And it's very humbling. You know, there's a gift in allowing the visibility of that inclination to be made visible, because it's all about love. Mm. It's all about recognizing how much we love the families we come from.
Yes.
Even when that includes having a life experience, sometimes especially if it includes, you know, picking a partner, picking a partnership, playing out a dynamic in a partnership, that is quite painful. Yes. Where there's some kind of rejection or trauma or abandonment, these kind of things that, you know, the outside eye could look at it, the reasonable, logical mind would look at that and say, what does that have to do with love? But the soul, you know, it makes no sense to the logical mm-hmm. mind. But
yes.
the soul has a very clear, clear quest for truth to be made visible and mm-hmm. for the larger truths of family and ancestry to be made visible.
Yes.
And so it's quite common how these kind of patterns and confusions can go on from one generation to the next. I'm just going to stop there for a minute, check back with you.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And we have a wonderful listener sharing her experience, which I'm going to read a little bit about what she's saying. And, you know, listeners know, once again, I kind of get personal with the show because it triggers. I mean, I'm really not sharing just because, hey, I can, you know, I'm sharing because it's up in the air. So, all right, let me get out my head and just stay in the flow. I'm sharing because I want to share. You know, when you talked about, you know, how a parent's love, what were they like in a relationship? And you said grandparents, you know, having been from a country, Nigeria, where I say that, you know, for me, I don't remember. I'm going to ask my siblings, but I don't remember my dad or my mom ever saying to each other, I love you. I don't necessarily remember me saying that to my dad when I was a child in Nigeria. I don't remember my dad saying it to me. And so people who are listening so far will be like, what? And it's or maybe trying to fill in the blank. But where I'm going with this is, it wasn't an issue. I mean, there was an understanding of love, but it wasn't love. See if I can put this in words. See if I can help my mind express what I'm feeling in my soul. If you've never had an experience of something, you can't miss it. Until you're in a community, or in a country where what. Now you can look back and say, well, I didn't have that. And you see how they relate to it. Or people say, well, it's important to have this when you're growing up, because if you didn't, blah, 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 what happened? Or if someone said, well, it really doesn't matter as long as you're whatever, you had something else. So for me, the idea of when I think of my parents, how they loved, my grandparents, and I want to say that I don't know if... let me put it this way. It's not the concept of love as we see it in the Western world. And I feel like since I moved back to England and then moved here to America, I feel like some of the things that I say about love are things that I've learned about love as an adult. And it's not necessarily something I heard when I was growing up in Nigeria, which is rather interesting. Which takes me on a deeper introspective journey that we won't do right now. and I'm gonna segue that into what the listener said in the chat room. Enchantress 18 said, "I did everything wrong. I married a man I never loved." She said, "I wasn't educated to know about intuition. I made the biggest mistake you could do and married a sociopath." This other part, I'm not sure quite. Oh, okay, I'm going to read that. I'll come back to that. So just thinking of the idea, and if you're just joining us, the topic today is ancestral blueprints, partnership, love, and ancestry. And kind of asking you questions of when you look at your partner, when you look at your spouse, when you look at your marriage, your partnership, whose eyes are you looking with? The eyes of your mother, your father, your grandparents, yours, societal conditioning? What do you see when you look at your partner? And whatever you see, is that really yours, or that's something that you believed should be there? And so when I think of what the listener shared in the chat room, when she said, you know, I didn't learn about intuition, I made the biggest mistake you could do. I married a sociopath. There are a lot of people who can say, well, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I'd do something different. And for me, Lisa, I don't know your thoughts on this. And I feel like no matter how enchantress, I got to say your username very slow. I won't say that yet. I'll leave that out. I don't want to say that yet. There is a reason that happens. I feel like it's basically what the show is about is I feel like when we join with somebody romantically, as I struggle to put words to what I'm really feeling, romantic relationship especially has a way of going deep, deep into the essence of who we are to heal, to make visible, and to make visible the things that we've ignored. And so when we have these experiences, just relationships, and like, oh my, that was a horrible one, that was great, but it didn't last. I believe, for me, I feel like that experience of the past, as you shared, Lisa, it's like truth is wanting to make herself visible. Not itself, herself visible. So anyway, Lisa, you want to comment on what the listener said or what's coming up for you? You want me to read again? Let me know. Or whatever you want to comment on.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate, you know, all that you've said and what the listener is saying and writing about. Sometimes a person, I don't know if this is the case for her or not, but sometimes we marry somebody to try to get somebody who's not been made visible and the families, the ancestries we come from, made visible. So if there's been some experience of invisibility or exclusion, say there was a former partner or a former spouse or a broken engagement in the family we come from, we may marry somebody out of an unconscious blind love movement to try to get that earlier person seen. So it's much, much bigger than us, than our own individual life experience. I don't know if this is the case for her or not.
Right. She is sharing some more things in the chat room, which I want to add as you speak on that. She said, which is quite interesting, because I'm going to go back to the beginning again. When she started talking, she said, I did everything wrong. I married a man I never loved. I was not educated to know about intuition. I made the biggest mistake you could do. I married a sociopath. Then she goes on to say, well, when I ask her to share, because I wanted to kind of understand what she was saying, she said, which is what we're talking about today. She said, my mother's brother married a woman he never loved too. He loved her father, not his wife. My parents were not wanted by their parents. Too many kids. My mother had a sister she never knew until she was married. And then she goes on to say, my family are from, okay, she's talking about, she was, oh my God, did you just say England? My family from there, yes. She said, my parents only gave me love and my brother love. I lived a dream world. I should have ran away from him. I did not know the signs. So for me, as I read what she's saying, that whole thing where she talks about her mother's brother who married a woman she didn't love, that he didn't love, and she married somebody, the listener in the chat room married somebody she didn't love. It, for me, kind of speaks to what we're talking about, right, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she said, and then she goes, they kept their secrets, which is, this is pretty much ancestral blueprints, the secrets that were kept, the things that are passed on. Interesting.
Yeah. And so the those, you know, places in the family landscape where there are secrets, things not talked about, it's quite common for there to be a living out of something that has to do with those secrets. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not know in our heads what the facts are, the secrets is the nature of, you know, what it is. But the soul always knows these truths, whatever these things are. And what I see over and over in my work is how the secrets too got created out of love. It's hard to they don't feel like that in the lived experience as a son, a daughter, granddaughter, grandson. Secrets don't have a feeling of love to them.
Right.
But you know, these circumstances that are part of the human experience that lead people to in a circumstance say, okay, they make a decision, oh, we're going to do whatever we can to not let this information out. We need, right. Something needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody or something needs to be protected. There's a desire to stop a pattern, so we're not going to talk about something. Or something was really too much at the time. It was traumatic or filled with grief, and it was too much at the time of the experience to talk about. And so secret energy kind of envelops that history. And so it's a blessing. It's a real blessing as a descendant, as a son, as a daughter, to just have a consideration that the secrets were created out of love. And to, you know, really also consider that there was a time in the history of the family that exists before the secrets got created. You know, and that in that larger landscape of history, there are resources. That there's a lot of resource in that larger ancestral realm that's there as a source of blessing for whatever the secrets were. That can help, just that framework, that image can be a way, you know, to shift relationship with the secrets, to shift, to disentangle a bit from what's often operating in people's lives, whether they're aware of it or not, which is that they feel somehow burdened by the secrets, bound up by them, responsible for them. There's a sense of it's difficult to live freely when there are secrets operating. And so just having this, you know, what I'm describing is all in connection with the topic at hand about making love visible, about all the influences partnership.
Yeah.
So I just trust it deeply that here we are, you know, the topic at hand is about partnership. Through whose eyes are you looking? And here we are, you know, thanks in part to this person who's listening to this program that, you know, this is not only her family, this is millions of people's families, that we can see, you know, what can be in the background that influences partnership.
Yes, it's really profound. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. The topic is partnership, love, and ancestry. We're inviting you to take a journey down memory lane. the journey back into self, back into time, and see where or who or what is influencing your partnership, your love relationship right now. And even if you're single, because we did read that, which says, where is it? If you are single or prefer not to be, is there anyone, this is the description that I'm reading. If you are single and prefer not to be, is there anyone in your family or ancestry who had difficulty in or loss of relationship with whom you may be in resonance? And if you really sit with that rather than just going to, well, no, I choose to be in a relationship because I can't trust man or I can't trust woman or I don't know who to trust. No. Well, that's still part of something that wants to be seen. So actually, yes, but there's some truth to that too. Either way, you are you have to do something. I want to say guilty, but I want to say that. And we're talking about secrets, you know. What comes to mind is we forget that feelings buried alive never dies. And so when you say secrets are created out of love, it makes me think, what? No, it's out of fear. People, no, in family sometimes we keep things like, no, we don't want to be perceived a certain kind of way. I don't know, I'm having this image of maybe my parents did something like that to me, or maybe something I watch in the movies or something I heard. But when parents talk to their children and say, don't tell anybody about it, you can't, this is just between us, you can't tell, you know, even that, you know, we could say, well, it's in protection and some things everybody don't need to know. Yes, but as a child, when you hear that, something happens in your psyche about, ooh, and sometimes I think it can be confusing and deciding, what can I say about my family or whatnot? And after a while, when a child decides, when they turn, become teenagers, and they now not telling you something, like, I don't know where you learn all that from. I taught you to be honest and tell the truth. Like, not, you didn't. The number is 347, the number to call in, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. And you can also check out Lisa Iverson's website as we swim through this conversation, this sacred conversation. Her website address is Ancestral Blueprints, just like the name of the show, just like the title of her book, Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. Speaking of America's soul, let's talk about American point of view, perspective in love, partnership, or maybe even healing, should I say, the healing work, the healing industry, self-help. Oftentimes, the idea is identifying what the problem is, and then we run into fixing it. One of the things that you shared earlier is a way to start to bring healing was to give ourselves the time, the space to think, well, before there was a secret, there was something else. So before the beginning, there was another beginning. And I see there's things we can do to allow movement inside of us. So I want to ask you a question, actually, Lisa. It's because of how we're conditioned to fix ourselves, to do the inner work, and it's almost like going inside and say, oh, that needs fixing. What would you say to a listener who is hearing this conversation and it resonates with them, but somehow, well, it resonates and automatically they're trying to think of a way. You know, maybe right now they're creating an affirmation. You know, I release my parents' marriages so I can have a great... What would you say to somebody who wants to run into, let me fix it so I don't have to look to my husband to find my father or look to my wife to find my mother?
The first thing that comes to mind is to consider that family doesn't need fixing. That Oof. Family.
Say that again and slow it down. Slow it down. Woo!
It's just four words. Family doesn't need fixing. Mm. You know, everything we're talking about has to do with the power of acknowledging truth. And how the kinds of truths that we're talking about has to do with things that often, they don't have anything to do with us. They have to do with what was experienced or not experienced in the generations before us. So whether it's our parents, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. And so and withdrawing from the places in that landscape that are not our task to do anything about, nor really is it our business. So beginning with our parents' marriage. So sons and daughters all the time out of love, out of blind love, are often entangled in one way or another in their parents' marriage. And it's impossible to feel freed up for an adult partnership if we're involved in our parents' marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be going on even if our parents are dead. So, in response to your question again, for people who, it just recognizing, you know, how much of your energy is going toward this idea, like there is something I'm supposed to fix. Considering perhaps there's nothing to fix. And perhaps, you know, just letting the idea that your parents are just right, and that however their relationship was with each other, whether they were together for a day or for 50 years or something in between, that was just the right amount of time for them to be together that resulted in each person being here. So this is really what we're talking about, has to do deeply with what promotes life. It's much more about life force than it is about psychology, spirituality, or any of these, you know, things that have a place. But this is deeply what we're talking about how do we receive life fully and then move forward from a place of receiving it, that we could be free to pick and be picked by partners, where there can be a good exchange of a giving and receiving kind of a flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. You've said a mouthful there. I'm taking notes. I mean, what you said, the things that I've written down, we could do a whole show on them. You talked about the power of acknowledging truth. That's a show by itself. Because when I sit with that, acknowledging truth creates a movement in me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in A Course in Miracles, it's called a shift in perception. And in the Course of Miracles, that's defined as a miracle. When you shift your perception, that's a miracle. So there was a problem and, oh my God, why is this happening to me? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And suddenly a shift happens. You're like, oh, wait, maybe I can do A, B, C, or D. So, oh, I got the answer. Well, moments ago, it was like, oh, I don't get it. There's a sense of overwhelming. And so when I think of acknowledging truth, it does, that kind of movement happens within me, like, I got it, right? And a sense of peace, calm around it, which moves me to when you said family doesn't need fixing. Now, I think I've heard soon, you don't need fixing, people don't need fixing. Yeah, I kind of heard, but something about you saying family doesn't need fixing just made me, whoa, wait a minute. What you say? slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when if we just sit with that and say, even if we disagree, even if you say, well, I don't know about that, Lisa, just sit with it and sit in the presence of those words and just consider, if my family doesn't need fixing, what's there? What else is there then? What am I not seeing? You just create a space. You know, you went on to say your parents are just right. Ooh, some people will protest against that statement. It's like, Lisa, you don't know what you're talking about. You up on there, Pacific Northwest, talking my parents were just right. You don't know what I went through with my parents. You mean you say my parents are just right? No, no, yeah. No, you're wrong.
Package deal. If we, you know, I say that with a full recognition of all the kind of things that happen in people's childhoods and in the family mm-hmm. experience. The most violent things that happen in a context of family. Mm. So I am not naive about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I, and separating out the difference between family and violence. You know, sometimes there's confusion about this because of the experience. You could substitute for the word violence, you could substitute the word rejection or pain or, you know, whatever's difficult,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see if there's confusion about that. And just that can be a pretty helpful thing to realize that there's been some belief operating of feeling it all so entwined together mm-hmm. that, you know, it helps us to see then how that entwinement is influencing partnership. Because if that's all wrapped up together, those are the kind of partnerships we're going to pick.
Mm.
It's just how it is. And so the task, the invitation, and this can't be rushed. It's the timing of this is unique to each person because it's important to respect each person.
Mm-hmm.
Each person's path, you know, and it's not a race. It's not to be rushed, you know, but there is a unique, divine, just right timing for each one of us on the planet for these awarenesses to unfold. It can't be compared, you know. It can, but that's harmful to compare from one person to the next and say, oh, you should be or I should be doing whatever we're doing at a different pace than what we're doing it. That's not what this is about. And so, however, you know, at the same time that I say for each person, you know, your parents are just right, I also say wherever you're at right now, it's just the right place to be.
Mm.
So whatever the current framework or image or perspective you have on your parents, on partnership, it's just right because it's what is. You know, everything that we're talking about, it is in this field of acknowledging truth and the freedom that comes from acknowledging truth mm. and the acceptance of what is. So, you know, if I can accept where I am right now, if I can accept this is how this is, it frees us up then for actually to be unfolding into a different place. You know, but if I expect myself, oh, I ought to be somewhere else, I ought to have a different perspective or something ought to be different, it bonds us in a difficult way to where we're at. Mm-hmm. There's no freedom for anything to change. So we don't realize how much stuckness there can be about anything, including partnership, stuckness in life, out of a resistance to accepting what is. So, you know, what a blessing. We can have a little bit of time together today Yes. You know, yes. Acknowledging.
You know what I want to do? I want to take a break now for that to kind of sit in. And because you are just, I feel like there's a mini you in my consciousness just going and blowing up stuff that's not true. Like a video game. I'm like, wait. They don't go together. And, you know, the thing that is really, well, the whole thing about family doesn't need fixing. And it did something to me when you said it. And then you went even further when you talked about separating family from violence, which may violence as in rejection, pain, abandonment, you know, abuse. And I love the energy of the show because I've never really thought of it like that. And when we separate in our mind family from violence, as you talked about, well, my parents abandoned me, I was rejected, I was betrayed, or whatever else we never, whatever the expression of violence that we experience, as I look at it right now, for me, as I'm looking at it, like it's a whole different conversation. It shifts things. And I want us to kind of see, well, after the break, I wanted to kind of sit with it, explore that a little more. I feel like there's more that can come out of it, especially in the context of saying, you know, when we, if we accept, because people may not agree, so I can't say when or if you accept that family doesn't need fixing, to accept that your parents are just right. Really, the idea is we're promoting life. We're promoting life force. You talked about what you just said now, this thing, if we think I ought to be this, I should be doing that. And Lord knows I've been doing some of that because like, oh, I got to, you know, even I pray around it. I affirm around it. Like this got to change, this got to change, and not really being with what it is because I'm rejecting what is and judging what is. So I think it's a good time to just, well, it's about that time really, to just kind of let that sink in our consciousness. And listeners, you know, call in, share your thoughts, your insight, your epiphanies, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You can also post your questions and thoughts, comments in the chat room. If you're listening online and you know, everything's happening the way it should. And, or you can post on the Life Conversations Radio like page. I'll be happy to get to it and read it out loud. And if you don't want your name mentioned, just let us know. We won't say your name. Even if you call in and you want to use a different name. The thing is, the people who know you would know it's you, even if you don't use the right name. So just think about that. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprint. And we want to leave you with this meditative thought as we take a break. Family doesn't need fixing. We are going to be back. The number is 347-426-3346. And press 1 on your keypad. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Be the change you want to see. What do you want to see in the world? Become it. When you be it, it comes to you. It doesn't come to you. It's really there. You just have to shift your energy, your vibration, the way you're looking at it. You just have to shift how you see your family. So when you be the love, the caregiver, the compassionate one, when you just be who you are, you have a deeper appreciation for your family, for your lovers, for your partners, for your friends, the ex and the next one. You realize, wow, they were such a loving person. But in the relationship, I thought they sucked out loud. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Today's topic, today's theme is partnership, love, and ancestry. Your host, well, Lisa Iverson, and yours truly, Life Coach Ade, and Ancestral Blueprints, as you heard a few minutes ago, is every last Wednesday of the month. And all the shows are archived. So if you missed anything, if you hear something, say, oh my God, that sounds good. Well, just go to lifeconversationsradio.com, lifeconversationsradio.com. That will take you to the page where you can check out all the archives. And then if you want to find out about Life Conversations Radio, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. To find out about Lisa's work, I'm just throwing it at you because you can handle it. Simply go to ancestralblueprints.com. Ancestralblueprints.com is the virtual home of Lisa Iverson. So if you want to have tea and coffee with her, go to ancestralblueprints.com. So before the break, I invited listeners to sit with the idea that family doesn't need fixing. And as you shared earlier, Lisa, the idea of separating family from the violence that's expressed in the form of, you know, rejection, abandonment, abuse, betrayal, all that happens in that community called family. And I think that's just something worth spending some time on. And then there's a beautiful question here. I really like the question here that Enchantress 18 asked, which I got to slow down to say that name. And I welcome all of you that are listening. Thank you for tuning in. Silent listeners disguised as guests. Lulu is in the house. Enchantress is in the house. Those of you listening on the phone lines, thank you, thank you, thank you. And those of you listening on the archive, we truly appreciate you. We are co-producing, co-hosting this show together, and co-creating. Lisa Iverson, separating family from violence. And I mean, if there's anything bubbling up for you around that, it just seems it's such a very important point that I think is just worth sitting with. That's what I think. What do you think?
I wanna check with you. You kind of left me hanging there with you're thinking about a question that somebody asked.
Yeah, I was going to come back to the question after we finished talking about separating family from violence.
Okay. Well, it's a big recognition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big recognition. We live in a time that has so many wonderful healing modalities available to us around lots of different things, including releasing trauma. And so it's really a gift to see how when there has been some experience of violence or trauma in a context of family, it can be quite lodged or hardwired into the body. And so it's really beyond the mind. Our bodies store lots of information. And so I'm grateful just to recognize the place of individual modalities that help us release these experiences from the body that, in partnership with everything that I'm saying, makes it possible to really take in these pictures that I'm talking about, these truths that help us to recognize, this larger landscape. What often goes unnoticed, if you're listening to this show, if you're in the conversation anyway, is that we're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this really simple recognition can be... Sometimes it's the simplest things that are the most powerful. So the fact that life got through whatever the challenging circumstances were from many generations, you know, that life got through and that I am alive. Sometimes we just don't fully know it.
Mm-hmm.
It may sound silly, but it's quite common. You know, out of the trees of all that has been happened, there can be quite a profound confusion about this.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know? So it's just another thread to recognize. This influences our partnerships deeply. If we're in a resonance of some kind with people from our family who've died, and it's could be a couple generations ago where there was a death that was difficult. We can be, without realizing it, in a connection of some kind with that unprocessed, unrecognized movement of death that belongs to somebody else earlier in the family. And that leaves a kind of a confusion, that unprocessed grief can leave a kind of confusion about who's alive and who's dead. So, you know, there may be this experience inside of me that has a bit of confusion about it that I don't even realize. That completely affects who do I pick, who am I available to, am I available for partnership? You know, all these kinds of things, you know, bring us here today. If I'm in a bit of a half alive, half dead state, I'm really not fully available for partnership. I may be in one, or I may not be in one, but I'm really not really fully available to be in it. If I'm in a fundamental confusion in my soul about am I alive or am I dead?
Huh.
And so,
yes, I do. Yes, I do. And there's some people in a relationship say, I'm not dead. I'm fully alive. It's you that's dead. It's like, no, I think you're dead too. Because if you're alive, you won't be saying what you're saying. I mean, that's, I know time is moving. Time is doing what time does. It keeps moving. And I want to share some, where there's a lot of conversation going in the chat, which I want to say to Lulu and Enchantress, thank you very much for sharing your experience, your story. Because for me as a teacher, I love to hear people's story. I love biography because I feel like when we share, we all learn and grow together. The question, yeah, I'll do the question first and then read some of the things that's shared in the chat room. The question by Enchantress18. Enchantress. Okay, here we go. There it is. She said, do you think we marry people like our parents, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
And we also are our parents.
There's a song called Mind Blowing. I think it's called Mind Blowing, but I hear like Mind Blowing Decisions. I feel like this show is blowing my mind. Mind Blowing Truth. Like, whew, wait a minute. Something else that was shared by Lulu here. She said, hi, Life Coach. Amazing program today. So I'm actually grateful. Lulu's listening for the first time. She says she's never caught the show before, but I'm here today with good cause. She said, I have repeated all patterns I saw my mother create, and I see how I have repeated so much of what I grew up with my children. Not the violence. I broke that cycle with my kids, but other patterns. She said, amazing. I see and hear that a lot. And I call it where we franchise our parents, you know, because I feel like, whew, I don't have biological children, but I think I could be a tough father. I'd be like, no, let's think about that. You know, I would just be going in based what I know about particularly my father, how he is. Not even anything negative, but it's just like, and in the world that we've created today, it seems sometimes that people, generally speaking, that thinking is not acceptable. You just go along with what everybody else is doing and do things unconsciously. I think when we are conscious, we can make different choices. I think there was something else there that I want to share. Let's see. Lulu was saying some of the things that we repeat. Well, I replied to her that it's interesting how we repeat what we learn from our parents. And even what we didn't like, and she said, yeah, most of those things are unconscious. So I feel like what this show is doing is waking us up. I think I want to suggest, Lisa, maybe we call the show, start calling the show Ancestral Blueprints. Thinking from the neck down, you know, moving from the head and all this plans and rules and 10 steps and 5 steps, the number one rule to living fully, to actually going deep down into the heart. You know, you often tell us about it's really from the neck down, not the neck up. And when we live from that place of neck down, we become aware of a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much information from the neck down, you know, in the whole whole self. It's quite a process, quite a gift to you know, every day on our own path, and then in connection with each other, the opportunity to reconnect with ourselves, reconnect in these landscapes we're talking about, but to recognize the places where there is disconnection, to resist judging them, but just to notice them, and then to welcome, you know, a reconnection at its own pace. you know, what a gift. Can't happen in one day, can't happen in one week, you know, just, but a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time adds up, you know, it just, it truly does. So we do in the Western world particularly, we value the mind. We've come to value this, you know, from the neck up way of being, for lots and lots of different reasons. There's a lot of reasons for that, but it's, yeah, that phrase talking heads comes to mind, you know?
And, yes.
So thanks for recognizing, you know, that how that influences us as well, you know, with everything.
I mean, I feel like this show today, I mean, always, but something about this, and I'm feeling so much, I don't actually have words for it. This show never fails to take me deeper than I even imagined, and it wakes me up in a way that I can't put into words, especially when I just let it carry me. I find myself being drawn to the comment when you said, you know, recognizing that family doesn't need fixing, and recognizing that our parents are just right. It's really about promoting life, you know, promoting the life force. You know, you're a psychotherapist, so you know about this. When, you know, not as much anymore, when there was a time somewhere, I came from a dysfunctional family. And it's often when people are talking about it as if it only happened to them. Like, everybody else came from a functional family, but everybody else came from a dysfunctional family. I came from a dysfunctional family, but some aspects of life can be dysfunction when you look at it. But when we start to just look at family, these two people that came together, and the things that we learn, as you said as well, you've always said on the show, that we are our parents. We are our ancestors because their life live in us. You know, we have their DNA in us. So when we even say, for me, I feel like when we say life never dies, of course, because my mother has made a transition. She's passed on, but she's alive in me. She's alive in my brother and sisters. She's alive in them. Well, Lisa, it's getting closer to that time to release the show. And if you want to add anything else, please feel free to do that. And I also want you to talk about the workshop, Making Love Visible, which is coming up when? In June. And so you can do that. Tell us about Making Love Visible. Anything else you want to add to the show before we release it?
Yeah. A few things come to mind. Thanks for what you're saying. Just a recognition how deeply we love. I really want to bow down deeply to the recognition our whole human family, how deeply we love in such creative, sometimes blind, sometimes awake, everything in between ways, and how, in terms of partnership, just a consideration that, you know, these themes in family life around gender, around men and women, it's really quite a time we're living in. I do sense this is one of the big points of reconciliation that are here with us. This time we're living in has to do with truth and reconciliation processes between men and women. And you know, out of love, out of loyalty, women can keep a going story. If they can keep a story going about men, about, you know, men being whatever they are, you know, that keeps them from partnership, and that's about love toward their mothers, toward their grandmothers, toward their great-grandmothers. So a daughter can keep her mother and her grandmother company in her heart with whatever their experiences were, rather than honor that they're the best ones to carry what's theirs, leave it with them, and move forward with more freedom to be able to see men in a different way than what their mothers and grandmothers saw. And the same is true for men. Men can keep the story going about women that is also in a kind of a blind loyalty, a disservice to life, you know. I'm grateful as we close to consider the belonging of both the men and the women, the mothers and the fathers, grandmothers, the grandfathers, the sons and the daughters. It's a package deal. If one gender gets dishonored, so does the other one. So it's really a package deal. And so so that's my final thought.
I want to say something. I think you just spoke. You just spoke into existence next month's show, Truth and Reconciliation Between Men and Women. I want us to delve deep into that. I think that's it, because I was containing myself, like, shut up. Don't say nothing right now. Save it. I think that's there's a lot in this. I think that's what we're going to do next month, unless we feel inspired to do something else or get guidance to do something else. But I think for now, yeah, it's a good topic to take on. We can handle it.
That's good. That could be for the whole year, for the next 10 years.
No, that's right. I know that is the truth. Yes.
That would have a good effect on our sons and our daughters and all of our grandchildren, you know.
Yes.
It's a big gift to give our future generations these images of reconciliation between men and women. So I'm good with that. And the Making Love Visible Couples Retreat, I do this 4 times a year. The next one is June 7th. They're all on Sundays. So the next one is Sunday, June 7th. These are all in the Pacific Northwest, in the Seattle area. So if anybody wants information, they can contact me at my website. They're one-day couples retreats. Happy for people to come check them out. And with deep gratitude for you, Ade, and everybody who's been with us. And I look forward to our next time. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome. I feel the same way for you, how you show up, what you bring, those, your ancestors, how you represent them, how you represent the voice of spirit, and just allow yourself to express and share from a very deep and simple place. Thank you, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ade. See you next time.
See you next month. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints. All is well, you know. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. Check out Lisa Iverson's website. Again, it's ancestralblueprints.com. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. Get you a copy and get a new reality, new understanding of what's going on today. While we have the violence and the separation and the race this, race that, shootings, what's happening today, the answer already exists. We don't need any new more information. It's right here. We just got to apply it. Family doesn't need fixing. We'll leave it on that. Thank you for your consciousness, for your energy. I want you to know that we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. And whatever you are growing through, remember it always, always fade into God, fade into love, fade into life, fade into the divine. Whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Fade into the nothingness. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith. It all fades into God. Trust and know that it is the truth. Join Ambassador tomorrow for the play experience. And I'll be back on Monday for the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Peace and blessings. See you soon. In a jail of I'm so lonely, a jail of all is love.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.